Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket, safely ensconced and away from the Andy Dalton haters in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. And now joining us on the Hilsers General Store hotline is Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton. Andy, welcome.
Just like during the game, not much happens there. It's just kind of there.
For a second, you stopped. Nope, joining us instead is Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill joins us, the Nittany Lion who may be drafted tonight. Jordan, welcome. What has this day been like?
I actually just got back from St. Francis University in Loretta. I'm just finding stuff to do just to occupy my time. I went and got my cousin. He plays football there at St. Francis. We just got back not too long ago. And in a little bit, we're going to hit the Blue Lake golf course just to kill some time.
Yeah, you played golf here along the way. Was it here that you started picking up the game and playing a little bit, or was it before you got to Penn State you started playing a little bit?
It was when I got here.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think along the – I remember watching a tape of you. Was it you and Stankavage and a couple of guys playing golf?
It was him and Daquan. They had a class. I was there because I was working.
Yeah, that's right. You had a job at the golf course. That's right. You were at a job at the golf course for a period of time. For you, what was the most difficult part of the process? Was it picking an agent? Was it the interviews at the combine? Was it the actual workout part? What was the part that was the enjoyable part, and what was the part that was the work part of it?
The worst part of it was traveling to go see the teams because I was still in class. So it was just hard just trying to make up work and stuff like that while I was, you know, on the road. But the best part of it all is just meeting all these NFL people, just getting to know them on more of a personal level rather than seeing them on TV. And it's cool just having those guys. They know who I am by what I've done. It's just cool having them, knowing that they know me.
The next part is that something that Jack Ham and I both talked about on the broadcast frequently was that we always felt that your stature worked to your advantage. This is a game of leverage, and you had instant leverage. Yet the interesting part in this process is sometimes it's brought up against you. So when that is brought up against you, what do you bring up as a counter?
That is the biggest, question mark for me is my size. I feel that I wouldn't be the same player if I was taller. I think I use my height to my advantage. I get up under, guards and centers easily, just because of the nature and how small, small I am compared to these big guys. So if I was 6'4", 6'5", I don't think I'd be the same player.
And you mentioned that you're also trying to do this while going to classes. Are you set to get your degree next week?
Yes, May 4th.
May 4th, and you're going to do it in 4 years. This is not a five-year guy.
Yep.
Your degree will be in what?
Recreation, Parks, and Tourism Management.
That's amazing. Look, you shouldn't do things like that. Some people start thinking that there's a really great culture here. Okay. So, come on. What are you doing? I don't understand. You're hurting everybody by doing this. Okay, for you, you've been trying to kill time. You're going to play a little bit of golf, all right? Now you're going to go through tonight. Hang in the apartment with friends, or is there another way that you could possibly somehow kill time till this thing gets over with?
probably going after golf, I might go shoot some basketball. But after that, I know some friends and family are coming up.
What has it been like for them in this particular process?
I think it's been more nerve-wracking for them than me, just because I know how to block things off, not worry about stuff. I think they're more skeptical than me.
Well, what's interesting is that you came here highly rated, highly touted, maybe not, but we could tell right away you could play. Is that something you've always fueled your motivation along the way, that every time there's a little bit of a doubt about Jordan Hill, you use it to your advantage?
Oh, definitely. In the game of football, you always have to use things to just fuel you sometimes. And, you know, that's something that's something I've always used, because that's something that's always been, you know, titled with me. You know, am I good enough? Can I live up to expectation?
When it comes to football, campus, academics, how would you describe to somebody your Penn State experience?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Just like the opportunities I'm about to get, Penn State is the same way. I visited a lot of places in high school, but I really didn't feel like there was another place like this place. And just going here and going through my 4 years, assured me that I made the best decision I could have made.
Well, it's been a privilege to be around you, and it's been a privilege to watch you play, and I wish you nothing but the best, not only in this step, but also over the years with this next step. Best of luck, Jordan. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Jordan Hill, join us. You know what Dan Marino and Peyton Manning both have in common?
They're both quarterbacks.
They're the only two quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that have more touchdown passes in their first 2 years than Andy Dalton. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door GLS 15943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster 16899. A 2008 Ford Ranger 2-door Super Cab 17995. 2010 Chevy Equinox 4-wheel drive LTZ 24998. And a 2011 Ford Explorer 4-door XLT just 26998. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Lane Johnson was the pick of the Philadelphia Eagles last night. As we told you yesterday, I thought that's exactly where they were going to go, and he's perfect for what the Eagles want to do. The Eagles want to play at a high tempo and a high pace. They want to be able to run plays at 15 to 20-second intervals on the 40-second play clock. You need to have people that are athletic and in shape on all 11 spots across the board. This guy fills that bill at that tackle spot. He was a former junior college quarterback, believe it or not. Went to Oklahoma, played there a couple of years, and I think that he is exactly what the Eagles needed at that spot. I'm going with Jonathan Cyprian in the second round. I think that's exactly where I think they should go. He's a safety, and I think it improves the team. I think the mystery guys in this draft are threefold, okay? The threefold mystery guys in this draft that I would eventually take a chance on would be Michael Mauti of Penn State, Marcus Lattimore of South Carolina, and Tyrann Mathieu of LSU. In fact, if I were the Steelers picking at 48, I would seriously consider Tyrann Mathieu.
I was just going to ask you, when do you take that quote-unquote flyer pick?
I would, if I'm at 48, I think you can get a running back in the third round. There's not a run on running backs in this thing. All right,
that's true.
I think you can get a running back in the third round. Tyrann Mathieu. Look, I'm. You know how I feel about production, and you know how I feel about doing it at the BCS level, where you're really against week in and week out the top talent, especially when you're talking about guys that are in the SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC. Okay. You're playing at that kind of level on a week-in and week-out basis, and you're consistently producing at that high level, I think that your measurables get tossed out the door when I rack up a DVD, look at it, and go, player. Now, does he bring with him extensive baggage? Yes. Are the Steelers very uncomfortable with excessive baggage? Yes. But that can he play? Yeah, but can he play? And if you put him out there with a Troy Polamalu and some of the other professionals that the Steelers have, can you possibly get a winner with him? Yes. Now, Dez Bryant brought with him great baggage, and he brought that baggage with him to the Dallas Cowboys. There's no question about that. No question. If I'm the Eagles at 35, Jonathan Cyprian is a guy that fills a void for them. They have safety issues. They've really had safety issues since Brian Dawkins left. This guy fills the bill with an athletic safety, I think, who's pretty instinctive in that spot. I could see Cyprian from FIU going at 35 to Philadelphia.
There's only two things I've heard about him on the negative side, that he doesn't always read the ball coming into his area as quick, and that he's not necessarily the fastest safety on the board. I'm wondering, as a safety, can you? I don't know how much of a worry would that be, the speed part of it.
Let me put it to you this way: he will start from day one. What does that tell you?
That I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No. He will start from day one.
I mean, he is your last line of defense in theory, but you know.
Jonathan Cyprian will start for the Eagles from day one if they pick him at 35.
And here's the thing. That is a position secondary when we look at the teams that are followed in the area a lot. That's a position right now that is starting to become a little thinner, I think.
What's becoming thinner?
The safety positions.
Safety is one of the deepest parts of this draft.
Yeah, but I don't see it being I don't see too many second rounders. I see a lot of second. I see a lot of thirds and fourths.
Yeah, but it's a deep part of the draft. Well, what does it matter what round you get picked in? What does that matter? What does that say? In fact, you know what? Worcester Polytechnic Institute, WPI, all right? Students did a project on value. Okay, this is financial value versus production. Round two was said to be far more productive than round one. How about that?
No, I could see that. I could see that real easy. I didn't mean that there's not a lot of players available. I'm just saying there's not a lot of guys that you'd probably want to pick in first or second round. That's the point that I was trying to make it say.
What does it matter? If they start and play for you, who cares?
I suppose that's true. I said, there's a point to that. There is a point to that.
Point to what?
There's a point to what you're saying.
That's what this is all about. It's just getting players.
Then tell me why I keep getting told as a fan that this is important.
Well, if you come up on the board and you look at it and say, look, somebody fell to here. Well, let's take Sharif Floyd, for example. The Minnesota Vikings are sitting there. They do not go into the draft thinking they're getting Sharif Floyd. They're picking in the 20s. Why should they think they're getting Sharif Floyd? You need to let it play out. Let the draft breathe for you a little bit.
Open the top. Let it breathe.
You have to.
Well, what's the big... All right, then why are we making such a big deal about Geno moving out of the first round? There was only one quarterback picked in the entire first round. Now, was it one that surprised everybody? Sure.
But why is that a big deal then?
Because he loses out on first-round money, and being a first-round pick is status.
I understand that.
He also is in the NFL draft room, so the guy's just hanging there, and it didn't pan out.
Now, if there were five quarterbacks taken in the first round, then I would say, you know what, that would make me nervous if I were him.
Look, do you want to know why the guys come out and hug the commissioner the way they do?
Because they want to avoid a fine later?
No, because they're relieved. Okay, they're relieved. It's like, I got picked. I'm with somebody. I'm with a team. I got picked. I'm not waiting anymore. The suspense is over. I now can start thinking about the next part of my life. I mean, they're relieved. They come out. That's why you notice they don't just come out, like, slap his hand, hug him, and then all of a sudden pose. Like, these guys embrace him because they're that happy and that relieved that they got picked. In the National Football League, you don't sit there and go, I really don't want to play for Jacksonville. I'd rather play for... These guys are happy going wherever they go.
Well, you just a few minutes ago talked to Jordan Hill, and he's so relaxed about it. He's playing golf and basketball today.
Well, I mean, he's trying to kill time. I talked to Matt Stankavage today, too. And he's been trying to kill time all day.
I mean, I do want to put it into terms everyday people can understand, like me. If you're up for a job that seven other people are up for, and you feel equally qualified, and you don't get the call back, and everybody else does. Maybe that's the way Gino feels right now.
Sure, that's exactly how he feels. He went into yesterday, he thought when he went to bed last night, when he woke up yesterday, he anticipated going to sleep at night, knowing that he was going to be with pick a team. And instead, he went to bed last night the same way he went to bed Wednesday night, not knowing.
And now he has to go and take his suit to the cleaners.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about 21, 22-year-old guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, they have emotions, too. You know, one of the things I notice in doing minor league baseball, guy will go out, he'll be on a 5-game hitting streak. Now, what does the average fan assume about his confidence level at that point?
On a 5-game hitting streak? That he's going up there and he feels like he's going to hit number 6 really quick.
Exactly. And you know what I found in the now years of pregame interviews with guys?
Superstitious?
No. They feel like they're on an at-bat-by-at-bat basis. I have never met one of them that was cocky, out of control, thought they owned the world. They were like, well, you're only really as good as your next game. And I have found that to be so interesting at the minor league baseball level. That there isn't that. It's the total opposite of what a fan thinks. That they are so, there's that level of insecurity of, am I good enough? Look, you know, I got to somehow keep this going. I'm one game away from a slump. You know, and when it's going well, it's like, okay, it's going well. Good, it's going well. It's almost like a relief it's going well. And it's the same thing I see, you know, when it comes to draft time. These guys are, I mean, look, Jordan Hill. We just had Jordan Hill on a few minutes ago in the show. He is a great college football player. He's going to be a really good pro. Yet if you look at the draft boards, he's not listed among the top 10 defensive tackles in the country. Are you kidding me? Jordan Hill? I watched him dominate one guy after another this past year. Travis Frederick was the first-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys at 31 last night. Jordan Hill ate him alive in November. Okay? But he's not listed among the top 10 defensive tackles in this draft. Not quite tall enough. If he was another inch taller, he might be. But see, they have these measurables.
That inch will make such a difference. Wear higher heels.
But I'm explaining to you why he is where he is.
Oh, I know. I know. There's that magical number that everybody goes by.
So how secure is a guy supposed to be sitting there? Like, I mean, you say, oh, Geno Smith, yeah, he has to get his suit done. Okay, the kid's going to make a lot of money. Yeah, he will make a lot of money in this whole thing before it's all said and done. Right? So there isn't really any reason to feel badly for him. But again, for him, what he thought and what he was told, like Jack was told he was going to be a member of the New York Giants. Giants came and went, didn't pick him. They picked Rocky Thompson.
Who?
Running back and kick return.
I'm kidding. I was just saying that.
Yeah. But I'm saying that's who they picked.
It was definitely not the better of the two, is my point.
Right. I'm just saying though. I mean, the Giants told Jack he was their pick. Jack fell to the second round. He got picked by the Steelers. Now look where he is. All right. Well, so.
And now he was the announcer to be named later. Is that what you're saying now?
Well. I ever tell you the one about we're doing the Oregon State game, and Irv Pankey's two sons were playing for Oregon State. And I mentioned that Irv was a part-time junior college coach out west, and I said something, well, after a 20-year NFL career, you can do that, with the NFL pension. He says, I'll tell you right now, the NFL pension wasn't so great when I retired. I said, well, I know that. He says, well, how do you know that? I says, because you're sitting here with me. News is next. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Sarah Bartlett.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It's draft time. You're on your way home now. You need to stop by the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, and fully stock up on the beverages, the snacks, and what the heck, make a stop at the pickle bar as well. I mean, you and Buhner basically buy that place out.
That's right. Love the pickle bar. I hang out there a lot.
Where is Buhner, by the way? Where is Buhner?
I don't know. The weather got warm, all right? Once the weather got warm, he found a lot of things to do. When the weather was cold, he was bored.
All right.
Wrestling season's over. He had that gap between wrestling and the warmer weather. That's when he was hanging out with us. Now the weather's warmer and he's gone.
All right.
By the way, if you stop by Brewer's Outlet and get one of those silver tub kegs, you can actually have a draft of your own.
Fabulous.
Oh, come on. That was a little bit better than that. Is there something more than a fabulous?
It's always fabulous at Brewer's Outlet. I need to go. I need to stop by the pickle bar myself. I'm somebody that enjoys pickles. I mean, I think they're great. Need to do that.
What did Buhner call himself? A gherkin connoisseur?
Gherkin connoisseur. We take out gherkin and con, and we have you.
How long did it take you to come up with that one?
Moments. Yeah, Sean Carey, by the way, in the other room laughing. Hysterically. All right. I get to round two when I'm the Steelers. The honey badger to me is one of the wild cards of this entire draft.
No.
Okay. But you won't take them because you're gutless and you don't think you can handle them.
No.
Maybe no.
Listen, the Steelers don't guys like that, period. They just don't.
Okay. I rack up a DVD and there's a fumble in an LSU game. Who picks it up? There's an interception, big return. Who makes it? There's a punt return. Who takes it back?
I feel like I'm in a bad Abbott and Costello bit.
It's him every time. Now, does he bring with him incredible issues and the fact that he has not played in a year? Yes. Is he a safe pick? No. Could he potentially be a dynamic pick? Yes. Every once in a while, you may need to play the market a little bit instead of buying those penny stocks you like.
There's other choices.
listen to you. You're just choices. So agonized over this. Who do you? Okay,
there's
round
other
two.
Choices.
Round two, pick 48. Who do you want? You're the one that wanted a corner yesterday. I just handed you a corner.
That's the wrong corner.
The wrong corner.
That is absolutely the wrong corner.
Why? Too much production for you. You'd rather
that is
have
the
somebody
wrong
nobody heard of
corner. That is absolutely the wrong corner. Matter of fact, I'd even lean more toward on the safety side. I don't think
they have safeties.
I would.
You're the guy that wants Polamalu to stay there forever.
Troy's getting old.
Now you're trying to replace him.
I understand he's getting old, all right? I accept the fact.
You're the one that said a half hour ago that in rounds 3 and 4 you can get safeties.
I agree, and that's what I said. That's exactly what I would. If you would have let me finish my sentence.
You cannot stand that I listened to the
if
show.
If you let me finish my sentence, that's exactly what I was going to say. I would love to see a safety, but I think there's going to be one around in round 3.
Yes, there will be.
All right. Now, that being said.
Right.
That being said, I think the outside linebacker position was filled. I would like to look at wide receiver.
I think they're going to take either Monte Ball or Eddie Lacy. Okay, if they're going to go wide receiver, if Hunter from Tennessee is there, he would certainly be a consideration.
Absolutely right. Now, I mean, Monte Ball, there's nothing wrong with Monte Ball, or I would like Eddie Lacy over Monte Ball, but.
I understand. I'm with you there. I agree.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with my. I don't think either one of them are going to be a bad choice.
No, and I think Le'Veon Bell's not a bad choice either.
Well, he's a nice size. He's a nice size at 230?
There are many draft boards that Bell is the number one guy on the board, believe it or not. Not Lacy. But I like Lacy better, so.
And we were talking during the break. I honestly believe the Eagles have an opportunity right now to make a move and still get somebody that they really want. I think they could actually talk to the Jets, let the Jets move up to 35. They'd move down to 39 and still get somebody that they want.
Right.
I think the Eagles right now took care of one of their issues at offensive line. I think they either look defensive line. I still think it's early for them to pick a quarterback, but I know a lot of people think they're going to pick a quarterback. I just think if you don't get somebody on the defensive line soon with the way they were picked in the first round, it might be rough. I mean, Jesse Williams is still there.
You're talking about defensive linemen?
Yeah.
Jordan Hill's still there. Kaywon Short's still there.
I'm not okay.
Akeem Spence is still there. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are still there. You're still going to be there when you pick later. I mean, believe me, if the Steelers went out or the Eagles and drafted Jordan Hill in round 3, believe me, they'd be getting a football player.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't discount that at all. I just think my point was I think the Eagles could move down, maybe get a couple of extra picks from the Jets. And still get the guys that they want.
Right. Okay, I understand that. But you also have to understand that in certain cases, you can have too many picks.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, and I was thinking about it, but Baltimore's still in that situation. They haven't done anything to get out of their pick situation. What do they have, seven or eight? No, they have more than that.
They have more than that. I think that... Let's see, the Patriots only had a few, and the Patriots picked up four in one trade.
Well, yeah. Let's see. New England now ends up with...
They have six or seven picks.
Two, three,
now.
Four, five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah, which is fine. That's good. That's what the Steelers have. They have eight picks. They took one yesterday. Got seven to go.
Now, the bad thing for New England...
I think San Francisco had double-digit picks.
New England has two picks in the second, two picks in the third, a pick in the fourth, but then they don't pick until from 102 to 226. I don't know if that makes a big difference between four and seven, but...
If you have two picks in the second, two in the third, right, and one in the fourth, it is jackpot time.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't think it's a big difference.
You make hay. Who gives a darn what you pick in five, six, or seven, even though they did get Brady in six?
Now, the Redskins have a 2-3-4, two in the fifth, one in the sixth, one in the seventh.
Part of that is because of the RG3 trade last
year. Yes.
I think that panned out.
Yeah, they might have been all right with that. Now, who was the other one you said that you thought had double-digit picks?
The 49ers.
Yeah, they seem to acquire picks. Let's see. Not counting Reed, they still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 picks remaining.
Right. It's too many.
Now, we were talking about
remember, the Raiders. there is a salary cap.
Right.
And all the money has to be divided among those picks, not evenly. But there's going to be some guys you might not be able to sign.
11. The Ravens have 11 picks remaining.
All right.
And they're going to be picking back-to-back in the fourth round on Saturday early on with 129 and 130.
That's fine. And they need some help in certain areas.
Well, they still need help at linebacker, wide receiver.
It took the safety, Matt Elam, last night.
Well, if you're, that helped fill that spot, at least with one player. But if you're a Cowboys fan right now, you should be infuriated.
Oh, I mean, look, they could have had Travis Frederick in round two if they wanted to. Easily. Nobody's going to take Travis Frederick until then. I didn't quite get that. They traded back. Okay, that's fine. This team has a certain amount of needs, which is fine. I mean, believe me, they could have, there are a lot of things that they could have done with that pick last night. They could have picked Jonathan Cyprian. They could have taken him at the safety spot. They could have taken Matt Elam, the strong safety out of Florida.
I think they should.
They could have taken him. They had it. That is a position they need help at.
They should have taken a quarterback.
You know what? You know what's really interesting about Tony Romo? He's not that bad of a quarterback. Does he make mistakes? Sure. Is he one of the elite six guys? No. Is he in that group of 7 through 12? Yes.
But he makes those mistakes at the worst possible times.
But if you draft somebody right now, you have to say to yourself, that's an upgrade over what I have. I don't see that. You have to, when you pick somebody, you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm picking this spot right here. Eventually, is this an upgrade over what I have? Now, when you look at what the Eagles did last night, they had Peters on one side. They got Lane Johnson on the other. They upgraded their tackle spot last night. If they go with Jonathan Cyprian tonight at 35, they will upgrade their safety spot. Do I think the Steelers upgraded their outside linebacking spot? Considering the present condition of the team with Jarvis Jones, yes. So when you pick somebody, the idea is you're picking to go out there, and eventually it has to be an upgrade for you. Picking a quarterback right now for the Dallas Cowboys unless you want to groom them for down the road, is not going to be supplant Tony Romo and knock him out of the ballgame, because that quarterback is not going to be an upgrade at this present time and won't be an upgrade next year either.
Well, the needs that Dallas has, though, really is safety and offense and defensive line.
Right.
And so, I mean, this is a perfect draft for them.
No, and they went offensive line with Travis Frederick last night, who can play, by the way, both center and guard. In the NFL, you take the pew pick last night by the Giants. Okay? You look at the pick that was made last night by, and see, and this is the, you want to know the difference between Jets fans and Giants fans? With the differences between the, you know, the teams like the Giants, the Patriots, the 49ers, and like the Arizona Cardinals or even the Dallas Cowboys now, is that when either Ernie Accorsi, who's now since retired, and Jerry Reese, when they make a pick, okay, even if it's somebody that they really don't know a lot about, the fans trust the pick. Pugh was selected last night by the Giants. So the NFL today is now a league that really, you know, with the 45-man roster, most teams carry seven offensive linemen, eight max, but usually seven. A guy like Travis Frederick, for example, can play both center and guard, just like Pugh can play four spots in the line of scrimmage. Pugh can't play center. And the Giants are in a position with their offensive line, for example, where everybody's getting a little older, but they're all doing it together. And the one thing that you worry about is the wheels come off the wagon all at once because of age. So the Giants draft Pugh out of Syracuse, who's not going to wow you, he's not going to be awesome, incredible, but he's going to be a really, he has a chance to be a really good, solid pro for 10 years. And he can play four spots on the offensive line. And when you're running with seven offensive linemen in your stable for a season, that's big to have somebody with that kind of versatility that can play at a high level at each of those spots. They feel he can. And that's the difference between the drafting of a Jerry Reese, the drafting of a Bill Belichick, and a drafting of, say, the Arizona Cardinals, the Cowboys, or even until the Chip Kelly group. I mean, not only a lot of people had questions about how the Eagles were drafting. So, I mean, and that makes a big difference. I talked to Ernie Accorsi in November. Ernie was here for the Jim Tarman dedication. And I've known Ernie for years. And he was telling me that when he was still the GM of the Giants, Jerry Reese had tried to get the job as the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs. And Ernie worked hard to try and get Jerry that job. And in the end, the Chiefs took Scott Paoli from the New England Patriots, who was the Patriots capologist. And then when Ernie retired, Jerry just ascended into the job. And when you have good, solid management like that, there is a trust that develops between you and the fans as to which way you're going with it. That's why you see the Jets fans react so violently one way or the other over a pick. They don't trust their management.
Well, especially that 13th pick.
Yeah, but that's not my point, okay? Why do you think they react like that? They don't trust whom they pick.
No, you're right.
Okay, Giants fans, you saw them last night. They're like, well, I don't really know a lot about the guy, but basically if Jerry Reese thinks he's pretty good, then, you know, we'll go with it. See, that's a big difference.
Well, Jets fans don't have any confidence in their coaching staff, their front office, quarterback.
Well, look.
And I can't blame them.
The Jets have been to one Super Bowl ever.
And everything every time you think they're close.
That's the difference. There's a trust issue between Jets fans and their management that doesn't exist. Meanwhile, the Giants, who have won two Super Bowls in the last, what, five? You know, Ernie Accorsi patiently goes out and he drafts Phillip Rivers, patiently works out a trade to get Eli Manning. He had lived through it before with the John Elway deal. Yeah. And so there is a trust that develops as to how these guys know how to put together a team. There's no trust with Jets fans as to how their guys put together a team. Just seems to be kind of a willy-nilly kind of...
cross your fingers and hope it works.
Right.
Well, let me put yourself in a Jets fan as a Jets fan last night. All right, the D. Milner pick was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Then you have pick 13, and you're like, it's quarterback. That's why it's quarterback. There's no question. Sheldon Richardson. That's what I thought. It was a great pick.
That is a great pick. Okay, that is a great pick. Sheldon Richardson is a great pick at that spot.
But that is not what the fans wanted, you could tell.
But you know what? You can't do that, though.
I know. I understand.
That's the one thing you can't do. Right? I appreciate the passion on message boards. I really do. I appreciate the passion when people call the talk show. I really do. Okay? And do people, as professionals in their spot, make mistakes? Yes. Right? Do I believe a fan could do their job better than they can? No. Can they evaluate? No. But they do make mistakes. But Richardson, to go with Milner, is great. And I think what the Jets wanted to do is they wanted to get Tavon Austin, then they wanted to get Milner.
But think, if all goes well today, or tonight, I should say, not only will they get a solid lineman there with Richardson, or a defensive tackle, rather, with Richardson, but they'll
He's better than solid.
Well, all right.
I mean, again, really good player, productive, and in what conference did he play in last year? He was productive in the Southeastern Conference last year.
My point is they'll also have a grand opportunity to pick up that quarterback now.
They still can get the quarterback in two. Yep. We'll wrap it up in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Who's the backup with New England? Ryan Mallett.
I used to know who the backup for New England was. We were talking about backup quarterbacks during the break.
It doesn't. The NFL's the kind of league that if your guy goes all the way through, he goes all the way through. I mean, the Steelers have a problem because Roethlisberger gets hurt a lot.
Hey, listen, everybody knows right. The Steelers' backups.
I mean, Eli Manning gets every snap of every game. Tom Brady gets every snap of every game. Peyton Manning gets every snap of every game. Andrew Luck gets every snap of every game. Now, the guys are a little more vulnerable. For example, RG3 is a little more vulnerable because he runs a lot more. All right? And who's the backup quarterback in Carolina? I mean, Cam Newton. In the NFL, your starting quarterback usually takes every snap of every game. That's why most teams get a veteran backup because they know they need a veteran backup to step in there, and it's not – they aren't – out of whack.
And the answer to the question is Kyle Orton.
Yeah, well, that's a good backup quarterback,
by the way. That's not bad.
That's a good veteran backup quarterback. It's a better backup quarterback situation than the Steelers have.
That's not saying much.
No, I'm just saying, but it is. I mean, Joe Flacco takes every snap of every game for Baltimore. And you go all the way through. It's very rare. So we'll see how it plays out tonight. How many times will Manti Te'o's name be talked about tonight?
Every five seconds.
I mean, good player, not a great player. Said that the entire time. I mean, you know what Te'o's biggest plus at Notre Dame was? Nicks at nose tackle.